Good morning, church. And happy Sabbath. It is a wonderful day today. When I came out here, I wasn't expecting such a big church. I love your church. I love the stained glass windows, lovely, friendly people. So it's wonderful. Please join me as we pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your love and kindness. We come to you with humble hearts. Please take control of our lives and our choices. And we pray and ask you, Lord, to please allow your Holy Spirit to come into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to speak about grateful hearts. So firstly, I'll share about myself. I'm from South Africa. I was born in South Africa. Then I moved to the UK, where I worked in the UK. And then in Bangkok, Thailand. So my undergrad is in business and healthcare administration. But I'm doing my master's in ministry right now at Southern. Coming to America, I work for the church, and I stayed at the church for the past 14 years. And I've been offered several jobs, not in ministry, in outside, in business, but I didn't take it. So I think this is where God wants me now, and I'm happy to be here. I'd like to also tell you, these are my three children here. Tamika is my oldest, and then Saskia and Reed. These are my children, okay? So we'd like to say happy Sabbath and warm greetings. Many people, when they look at us, they think we're Spanish. We're not Spanish, okay? We're not Hispanic. So I get this even at church because I work for Collegedale Church, and when Hispanic people come across, they greet us in Spanish. I do not speak Spanish. So I get so tired of telling these people I don't speak Spanish, and I speak to them in Afrikaans, which is a South African derivative of Dutch, okay? So we say goeiemôre. All right, that's in Afrikaans. So I'd like to share that in Psalm 107:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. I'd like to share a little story with you. In 2019, my family and I were on vacation in North Carolina when I got a phone call from my brother in South Africa. He's a doctor out there, medical doctor, and he said, "Hey, brother." Well, he says brewers in Afrikaans means brother, okay? And so he said to me, "Hey, Dad was diagnosed with cancer." My dad's a very nice guy, but stubborn as heck, you know? He had this pain in his stomach for a long time, and he wouldn't go to, and even my brother's a doctor, he wouldn't let him check him out or anything like that. So now he ended up with cancer, and when the doctor saw him, it was really quite advanced. So we were on vacation, and this is the first week in July 2019. So we stayed an extra 2 days, and we drove back to Chattanooga. And that's when I was able to get a flight to South Africa. And I arrived in South Africa 10 minutes before they took my dad into theater. So I told him, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to be waiting when you get out of theater." And when he came out of theater, after the procedure, they removed his entire stomach. The doctor said he'll be gone within 6 months, less than 6 months. But the good thing is that I went to visit him again in November 2020, and then in May of 2021, and that's when he passed. But we are fortunate that the three kids and myself, we went to visit him, and we spoke to him. That was wonderful. So I like to thank God that he spared Dad those lives. And the good thing about cancer, you get to say goodbye. Many people say, "I'm crazy." I said, "No. It's not like a heart attack where the person just goes. With cancer, you get to say goodbye. You say, 'I love you, Dad. I'm going to miss you. And I'll see you when Jesus comes again,' you know?" So those are good things about it. No more suffering. Sister White states that giving thanks to God is a positive duty and a spiritual discipline that strengthens faith, provides power to endure, and promotes health. So Sister White is encouraging us to have a grateful heart, to have an attitude of gratitude. She emphasizes that gratitude should be cultivated through daily practices like remembering God's blessings and in our praising him and expressing thanks for his goodness and mercy, even while asking for help in prayer, makes us better people. This is Sister White that tells it. This will make us better people to have an attitude of gratitude and give thanks to God. I'd like to read Psalms 23. This is a psalm. When I went to school, our principal, from the age of 6. We are to say Psalm 23 and Our Father every day. And of course, in school, I was a naughty boy, so I got up to mischief even when it's time to pray. But I hope I've changed since, okay? So I like to read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even in the presence of your enemies, you need to thank God because he's with you. You prepare my table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So God is telling us that no matter where we are, what we're experiencing, he's with us. He's got your back. So we know that he loves us, right? But we need to go out and share the gospel with other people who are doubting. There's one thing I'd like to share with you. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for inviting me. We are alive today. Someone did not wake up today. So we need to be grateful when life is good and going well for us. And even when things are not going well, be grateful. Don't throw tantrums, people. You're big now, okay? God gives you what you can handle. People often pray for financial things. They pray for family, for health, pray for their children, for their parents, for families who've lost loved ones. But many people pray for money. And the sad thing is that even if you look at people who have won the lottery, people win millions. Within a few years, the money is gone. But the lottery is not of God. We do know that, right? So people lose it. So God gives you what you need, not what you want. So we need to remember that. That is so important. When life is bad and you pray for God to make things better in your life and it doesn't happen, thank God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Because we don't see it right now, but later on we may recognize, hey, God knew what he was doing. Be thankful. We often doubt God and say God should not let bad things happen. Why? I think if you don't have bad experiences, would your life be so boring? And how do you improve your relationship with Jesus if you don't go through bad things? There's got to be hills and stuff like that. So if you don't experience bad things, it's going to be difficult for you to build a relationship and go on your knees and pray and ask God to help you. We must praise God for what he does in our lives, good or bad. But please, people, I like to let you know, bad experiences and bad things are not of God. God only wants good things for us. I'd like to share this with you. Some people have been through a divorce, whether your wife or your husband has left, and people ask, why? I told my friend, why are you asking God? Divorce is not of God. God didn't cause this problem. You did. Live with the consequences, you know? Get over it, man. Get over yourself. So don't ask God. Just say, thank you, Lord, and move on. Don't blame God. Even if you prayed for something, pray for something. You may ask for something special, and God doesn't give it to you. Now you start saying, oh, man, I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm going to say, no, until God makes things better for me. But that's not the way to do it. He always wants the best for you. You need to trust God, people. Attend church and pray. The more we pray with friends, the better our relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you, go on your knees and praise God, even in a bad situation. In cases of divorce, which I told you, divorce is not of God. Thank you, Jesus. And then we thank Jesus, even in the case of illness, jobless, financial hardship, that is, relationship problems, health problems, this is not of God. So we need to thank God for helping us through these situations, even in the case of death, when you lose a loved one, accidents, war, natural disasters, social injustice, poor choices, those are not of God. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, I just put this pointer in there. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. What is that telling us? Rejoice always. Rejoice in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for protecting us and looking after us. I was talking to a friend of mine from the UK, from London, and he asked me, like, hey, man, just remind me, where again are you living? So I said, in Tennessee. He said, man, why are you living in Tennessee? I said, man, I said, boy, I love this place, you know. But he said to me, Tennessee makes the best whiskey. I don't know what's the name of the whiskey Tennessee makes. I don't know. I said, well, it doesn't really affect me because I don't indulge in that stuff. So he said, man, if I come there, that's the Bible. I said, well, Tennessee's the main part of the Bible Belt, and we do good things here, you know. So I said to him, look, there's three things if Tennessee doesn't have for me. And the doctor, the dentist. So Dr. Moody is my doctor. I don't know if you know him. And then Dr. Otis, David Otis, is my dentist. Those are the best doctors as far as I'm concerned. And then the last thing. If Tennessee stops us from eating peanut butter, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. So give thanks for everything. His love, his protection, his blessings. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God. All things, even bad things. Trust God. He knows what we can manage. We spoke about it. The lottery. Those people are given this money and all of a sudden it's all gone. Lord, help me through good and bad experiences, even in difficult times. We pray for a better job, good health, a new house, car. Let's be humble and be good, be kind, be loving. Spread the gospel. And our bad experiences sometimes could be a car breaks down, a burglary, or a dog bites you. Hey, it's not the end of the world. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still alive. Thank God always for walking with us, allowing us to be in his presence. Let all things happen for good in Jesus. When you're going through hardships, he knows our heartache. And his heart pains for us. So even if you're going through financial problems, you lose a loved one, a divorce, any family issues, God feels it. He feels your pain because he loves you. Think of a parent. Even if you see a child kick their toe somewhere or a toothache or an earache, you feel sad for your child. Can you imagine how God feels for us? God sacrificed his son, Jesus. God understands sacrifice and suffering. Think of Jesus on the cross. How did God feel about that? How would you feel if your child is on the cross? Let us read Matthew 27:46. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine how God felt when Jesus said that? Watching your child suffer like that, that was God. It is painful to watch our children, and it was painful for God to watch his child go through that situation. In Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious, but in everything give thanks. In December 12, 2005, I was in the dojo. I did karate and kickboxing, all those things, and judo from the age of 5. But as I got older, into my 30s, I felt that I didn't want to be doing all that now, so I did Aikido. Aikido is another form of martial arts, which is nice for older people, you know. So we were in the dojo for 3 hours training, and we're pushing the limits, which is a little dumb, and I did a somersault break fall, and I landed on my head on a concrete floor. So I had a compression fracture, T3, 4, and 5, I think it was, just below the neck. But fortunately, we had a doctor. One of my colleagues was a doctor in the dojo, and he kind of took care of me. I couldn't get up, and the guys wanted to pull me up. And of course, he was looking at me, and I could see he was a bit concerned because he told me afterwards he was tickling my feet and scratching my leg and stuff like that. And I couldn't feel anything, but I could see there's something not right here, you know. So I said, man, just what's going on? What are you worrying about? Just get me up. Because I couldn't get up for some reason, you know. So anyway, I went to the hospital and the orthopedic surgeon said, So the orthopedic surgeon was a friend of mine. And the general practitioner was a friend of mine. So these guys said, you need to go to hospital right now. I said, okay, I'm at the hospital now. Let's just do the x-rays and all that. And the guy said, I'm very lucky. It was after about 20 minutes or so, I was able to feel this guy tickling under my feet. So I went to the hospital, and then these guys wanted to book me in. I said, no, I'm not staying. I haven't had a shower yet. You know, you've been... So I said, I'll go home and shower. So I went home and showered, and I said, I'm going to go to bed. I'll go to the hospital the next day. Got up the next day. I was in so much pain. I just collapsed and fell on the floor. And then I had to go to the hospital. And, of course, these guys tell me, I told you so. I said, that's not the way doctors are supposed to speak to their patients, you know. But these are very close friends of mine. But I share that story to tell you that I was in a brace from my hip all the way up to my neck from December all the way through August of 2006. And I had to sleep with that for the first 2 months. And I couldn't sleep with anybody in the bed. The doctor said, if one of the kids had to jump on the bed and I was sleeping and my spine twisted, I'd be dead, you know. But we serve a living God, and Jesus is good. So I want to say, thank you, Jesus, for sparing me. So this verse encourages us not to be anxious. Put in your request through prayer and thanksgiving. Instead of worrying, talk to God about your concerns. Be thankful for what God has done in your life and change your mindset by trusting God. Which, when this all happened to me and I came out of hospital, I just said, Lord, this is not my problem. This is your problem. I know those consequences of my actions, but only God could make me whole, right? Amen. So if we obtain and remember what God wants us to do is just depend on Him at all times, which He's got you. This practice will result in giving us peace in our hearts and minds. So please, we need to enjoy today, the present. We can't be anxious and worrying about 10 years or 20 years or when you retire, you're not going to have enough money or whatever. Hey, if you don't have enough money today, but you're still eating, you have a roof over your head, so God has got you. So I always tell people, this is my understanding. Let's focus on positive thoughts, on the blessings of Jesus, our good experiences. For me, positive thoughts. I grew up in Durban, South Africa, if anybody knows where that is. That's on the East Coast. And that's like Florida. It has one season. It's just hot all the time. So I don't like it, but we stayed there for a couple of years. So my positive thought is walking along the beach. The Durban beach was the best beach in the world. People would come from Miami, California, bragging about their beach until we took them to Durban beach. The beach was beautiful. The water was warm. It's the Indian Ocean, and there's a warm Benguela current that flows up. And the water is so warm, it's beautiful. So we could swim in for a mile. There's lots of sharks, okay? So there is a risk of being bitten. But we didn't care. We would swim. So with a shark, if you just swim below it, you're good. You can put your hand up, it'll glide over you. But of course, you don't want to be eye to eye with the shark. Then you're in trouble. Or between food and the shark, then there's a problem. But my positive thought is walking along the Durban beachfront. It's a promenade. And they have these, it's spicy pineapple and spicy mangoes. Now, when I say spicy, that's curry powder mixed with salt and sugar, and they roll the pineapple in it. And you take a bite. You cannot sit when you eat that. You've got to stand and lean forward because the juice will just come all over you. Just thinking about it, my taste buds are going crazy. So that's my positive thought. When I'm having troubles, I just think of the beach, the sunset, the sunrise, and having all that nice food on the beachfront. So let's not worry about my unknown future. It's in the hands of the all-knowing God. Because Jesus has got you. Don't focus on circumstance, people. Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. Don't focus on what you did not accomplish or the bad things you've done in your life. Don't focus on that. Focus on doing something better. Let's improve. Let's trust Jesus to pull you through your situation. If you keep worrying about something, it's going to eat you up. Just remember, Jesus loves you. You've prayed and asked for forgiveness, and Jesus has forgiven you. Move on. Do better things. Don't make the same mistakes over and over again. Then there's something wrong with you. We pray and ask God to forgive us. Forgive us for our past, for our sins, for our actions. And by doing this, will make us better people. Lord, please take away my guilt. Give me positive thoughts, kind and a grateful heart. When we focus on bad experiences, we are encouraged to do bad things. You don't want to do that. You will have no peace of mind, and that is dangerous. So let's trust Jesus in everything, in all challenges. We are called to be part of Team Jesus. Not Team Nike or Team whatever, Team Jesus. So we need to focus and help other people with the banner of Jesus. Because we know that Jesus wants us to do good things. Let's go out there and share the love of Jesus. And let people know that Jesus is coming soon. Don't go out there and try and tell people you know when Jesus is coming and give him a day and a date and a month and a year. Don't do that. Especially when you're speaking to non-Adventist people, don't think you know it all. Humble yourself. Go there and just tell them Jesus is coming. Because the Bible tells me, in my Bible, it tells me, Jesus himself doesn't know when he's coming. So how do we know when Jesus is coming? Please, just be humble, be kind, and trust that Jesus will come when the time is right. Let's focus on Jesus. Focus on the love of Jesus. Jesus suffered for us. He was sacrificed for us. And yet he had no sin. That doesn't sound fair to me. Does it sound fair to you? No. Jesus does not anger over his sacrifice and suffering. Doesn't say, hey, I died for you. No. He knew what was expected of him. Mark Twain said, one compliment will carry me for a whole month. There's power in paying compliments, showing appreciation, and being thankful. They bring out the best in others. They change the atmosphere and alter the course of the narrative. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on how God has led our country, community, and us as individuals in the past. So we need to let people know, hey, you look like a godly person. I love your smile. It's Sabbath today. For me, we see a lot of people come to church and they don't have a smile on their face. I call those sad venters, right? A Sabbath is a special day. We need to smile. I don't expect you to walk around just smiling all day, you know, but smile when you see someone. Greet them. Hey, brother, sister, happy Sabbath. God loves you. Jesus loves you. It's simple, you know. So let's know Christ. Let's pray. Build that relationship. Listen to Christ. Spend time in the Word. Be a witness for Jesus. Share Jesus with the community, with the world, with everybody. On the Durban beachfront, we used to go down every Saturday night. Once we closed Sabbath, we used to cook beans curry. And we used to make bunny chows. Do any of you know what a bunny chow is? If you go to South Africa, Durban, if you haven't had a bunny chow, you haven't been to Durban, okay? So you take unsliced bread, like a quarter loaf, and you dig the bread out and you put curry inside. This is something that was done by the Indian folks. And these are not native American natives. We're talking about Indians from India, okay, that are living in South Africa. So these guys started making that. And then everybody eats that now. People can have bean curry, chicken curry, lamb curry, whatever you want. They'll make it for you. But of course, with us as Adventists, we gave bean curry to everybody. And we would just feed the people. We wouldn't talk about church. We wouldn't talk about anything. Just give it to them. Until the people started asking us, like, hey, where does this come from? When we said, this comes from Jesus, the Seventh Adventist Church. And we started talking about the Bible. And then we used to have little Bibles, hand out Bibles to them. And we used to talk to them and we used to invite them. But a lot of these people were homeless folks and they were going through some hardships. And the church would help them in certain situations, you know. So Jesus is coming soon, and we tell these people. And a lot of people were non-Christian at the time. Because we used to walk around Saturday night, everything happened on the beachfront, right? all the activities. It was fun to be down there. You play soccer on the beach, you play volleyball, you go swim, you do whatever you want to do. But you just don't swim in the morning, early morning, and after 6 p.m. That's when the sharks are looking for food. You don't want to be in the water then. So we used to talk to people about Jesus, and we'll walk around, there'll be Jews, there'll be Hindus, there'll be Muslims, there'll be whatever. We'll just tell them, Jesus loves you. We don't care. We'll just tell the people, Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming soon. And eventually these people are going to, they're going to start checking out. Hey, what are these people talking about? Even though they are not Christian, they're going to want to know about Jesus. Some of them will stop us and say, let's talk more. Then, of course, that's wonderful. We'd love to do that. But others won't say anything because they're afraid of their community or their friends that they're with. So they will go and look up later. And a couple of weeks later, they may say, hey, I know what you're talking about. So that was interesting. But Jesus is coming soon. Let's be thankful. A lot of people are fortunate, especially in America. We eat every day, but some people, maybe you're sitting down having a plate of bean curry and rice. You say, oh man, I don't want beans curry. I wish I was having a nice veg lasagna with some Greek salad or something. But you have a choice, right? Other people don't have choices. They don't have a choice. They got to eat whatever's in front of them. And some people don't even eat. They're starving. So many people are starving all over the world, even in America. And nobody should be starving, especially not in America. The global hunger statistics. This is a report from the United Nations and the World Health Organization. In 2024, they estimated between 638 million. Can you understand that number? 638 million to 720 million people faced hunger in 2024. One in every 11 people globally experiences hunger. More than 3.1 billion people could not afford a healthy diet. That is sad. We need to pray, people. We need to pray. Natural disasters and wars do not help the many challenges. Advanced weapons, robots, our Almighty warns us. Matthew 24:6-8. Jesus speaks of wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places and signs that will occur before the end. These disasters are happening right now all over the world. Am I right? Do we see this? Do we read about it? You put your television on, you put your news on in your car, it's just disaster after disaster. Jesus is coming soon. Let's spread the gospel. Great changes are happening all over the world. Let's make a difference in your community. Your little community. Wherever you live, in your workplace, in your small group of friends, let God use us. He used the fishermen, right? Why can't he use us? God uses ordinary people like you and me. Lord, please use us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. An example of this in the Bible is Mary. Mary sang a song of praise when God chose her to bear Jesus. Do you remember reading that in the Bible? What about Jesus? He gave thanks before he fed the 5,000 people. Hannah, when she had a son, she praised God. David wrote psalms of thanksgiving. His righteousness and faithfulness. He told God he appreciated him. We need to do the same. The healed leper gave thanks to Jesus. Daniel, even though it cost him his life, he still prayed and thanked God. What about Miriam? Miriam sang praise because God saved the Israelites from the Egyptians, the Exodus. Be thankful for God and for bad experiences. God knows what we need, but we will grow. Pastor Finley says, we grow as we go. Have you heard that before? Pastor Finley, the good man, in mission, in service, strangles selfishness. So the more we read our Bibles, the more we give Bible studies, we grow spiritually. So we need to be active and going out there to do things. It's so important for us to do these things, because by doing this, you are blessed. You are blessed to give a Bible study. You are more blessed than the person that you're giving a Bible study to. It's amazing how Jesus works. Thank you, Jesus, for your many blessings. I'd like to share a story. In September 2006, we came to America. We flew to Seattle, which my wife wanted to write the NCLEX exam. So we came over for 2 weeks, and we're living in Seattle, and she wrote the Californian exam because that covers more states. So we took her, well, we only had the two daughters at the time, and we took her to the place where she was writing this exam, and we went back to the hotel and had breakfast and just relaxed, waited for her. She said she'd be about 3 hours. So I said, okay, we'll figure something out. So fortunately, we decided to read and play games, and we didn't go anywhere. And about half an hour later, she came to the hotel. I said, what happened? She said, well, it kicked me out. I said, what do you mean kicked you out? I said, speak properly now, talk to me. She said, well, they just stopped testing me. But you know how these tests work. If you get so many marks, so many questions right, it just stops. It says, right, you're good enough. And that's what happened with her. But she was nursing for a long time, for like 20 years. And so that's what happened with her. And so I thank God for bringing us to America. I really do. But I must say, the American culture is a lot different to our culture. Our culture is more assimilated with the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. People, similar foods and that type of thing, similar customs. But we are so thankful to be in America. We love America. That's very important to us. I just wanted to share that story. Before we close, the song we're going to sing, the author, German Lutheran, is a German Lutheran pastor, Martin Rinkhart, wrote the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. As a personal prayer of thanksgiving and expression of enduring faith in God's provision amidst the immense suffering, death, and destruction of the 30 Years' War and a severe plague, Rinkhart served as an archdeacon in the walled city of Eilenburg, which became a refuge of countless fugitives during the war, leading to overcrowding, famine, and pestilence. At the peak of the plague in 1637, he was the only surviving minister in the city and personally conducted as many as 50 funerals in a single day, including that of his own wife. Despite these horrific circumstances, Rinkhart wrote the hymn, originally a prayer for his family to sing at the dinner table, to focus on God's countless gifts of love and the promise of future grace rather than the surrounding despair. The hymn became an enduring testament to his belief that even in the darkest times, there are reasons to give thanks and trust in God's faithfulness. The hymn later became a national song of thanksgiving in Germany, notably sung after the signing of the Treaty of Westphalia in 1648, which finally brought an end to the brutal 30 years of war. We must remember one thing. If you want a better morning, talk to God first. If you want a better night, talk to God last. If you want a better life, talk to God all day. Thank you so much. Friends, before I pray, you know, I told you we're not Hispanic. I didn't mean there's something wrong with Hispanics, okay? Please. I'd like to say thank you to brother. You play beautifully. I just love that. Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and kindness. We thank you for traveling mercies. And we thank you for these lovely, smiley faces that are in church today. Please bless this community. Be with us. And we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. In Jesus' precious name, amen.